Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The invisible things of God from the creation, of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal, sovereign, holy power, and his Godhead, his person, his throne. He is God on the throne, so that all men everywhere, including us, including all men, are without excuse. Verse 20 declares all men are without any valid reason not for submitting and acknowledging that God is God. They are without excuse. While the light of creation does not reveal the gospel of Christ, and sinners do not learn the gospel by looking at the creation of God, they learn the gospel by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and by the revelation of God the Holy Spirit. However, the creation does reveal some things about God, the creation itself. That is what is mentioned there, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, if you have the Cambridge that I'm using, you'll notice on verse 20, there is a marginal reference there to Acts 14, 17. So if you'll turn there, and let's read Acts 14, 17, and we see something very interesting. God has not left himself without excuse. Acts 14, 17. Now, when it says here, the invisible things of God, of him from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. How are invisible things clearly seen? Now, it seems like a contradiction, but look what he says here in verse 17, Acts 14. Nevertheless, he hath not left himself without a witness, in that God did good and gave us rain from heaven. Now, we see the rain from heaven, don't we? And the fruitful season, filling our hearts with food. God gives us food. And he gives gladness of heart. So God has not left himself without a witness, even in the creation of God. The familiar psalm that we look at all the time in this regard is Psalm 19, verse 1, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, or the heavens declare that God is God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The vast, infinite space that we look at, it shows just the handiwork of God. That's his handiwork. Creation. God created all things by the word of his power, so that they are without excuse. Now, look at verse 21. Because that, when they knew something of God in this vast creation of God, when they knew something of the glory of God as it's seen in the face of creation, in the stars, in the sun, in the planets, in the solar system, in the universe, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but rather became vain. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Psalm 39, 5. Vain in their imagination and their foolish heart. Their foolish heart, not a believing heart, their foolish heart was further darkened. Even when creation declares the God of creation, the sun, the stars, the clouds, the mountains, the rivers, the trees, all declare that God is God, and all creation can be used in type and picture to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the Lord is called the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself as the light of the world. He is the only light. And then also, he calls himself the river of the water of life in a dry place in Isaiah 32. So we can use even all of creation. I remember seeing a sermon by Charles Spurgeon when he used a tree as an example of the gospel, and then he used a small little creature and how that tree provided for that little creature, provided him covering, provided him food and all those things. So we can take the things in creation and make a gospel application to those things. But man by nature, looking at all the creation of God, reveals something about the character of God, the true character of God. It does not reveal the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto us. Because it says here, they did not honor, they glorified him not as God. They did not honor him as God, believe him as God, and bow to him as God, nor did they worship him as God. The old, what they call the old catechism, or the old articles of faith, the chief end of man is to glorify God. If you find that old London Confession or the old Philadelphia Confession, the chief end of man is to glorify God. But even when fallen, vain creatures knew something of the true character of God, as he's revealed in the glory of his own creation, they honored him not as God. And then it mentions three things here. They were not thankful, but rather became vain in their thoughts, their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now let's look at those three things. They were not thankful. Instead, they were thankless. Man by nature is not only thankless, but he is godless. Godless, ungodly. Believers are thankful unto God for everything we have, everything we know, everything we are, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But unbelievers are unthankful. They were not thankful. Not thankful whatsoever. And then the second thing it mentions here, they were vain or became vain or revealed the vanity of their imagination by not honoring God. Became vain in their imagination. Now remember the scripture from Genesis 6, all the way back now, just after the fall. Genesis 6, when God says to Noah, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. This is prior to the flood. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how fallen we are. Vain in their imagination. And God said in Psalm 20, you thought I was altogether such a one as thyself. No. No, God's not like us. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Every thought and imagination of God is absolute perfection. That sinners, and that's us by nature, vain. And then it says, thirdly, their heart being darkened, their foolish heart was darkened, blinded by sin, blinded by ignorance. Now, if you'll turn to this reference, and you can find this quickly, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. You see the problem? Heart problem. We have a heart problem. Jeremiah described our heart, and that's not talking about the muscle in our chest. When the scripture refers to our heart, He's talking about our mind, our affections, our will, all those different things. The heart is deceitful above all things. Deceitful above all things. Now think about it. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's a true, God's true summation of what fallen man is. Men are so fallen, they think evil is good, and they think good is evil. We so screwed up. I mean, excuse me for the slang, but we're just messed up. Man is so fallen and so corrupt. I read this scripture and wrote it down in Malachi 2. Everyone that doeth evil, this is what they think is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. That's how messed up we are. Our thoughts are totally contrary. It says in and then where is the God of judgment? Well, he's on the throne. In Psalm 14, and turn to Romans 3, and this is quoted from Psalm 14. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. That's Psalm 14. Now, it's quoted here in Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written. That's Psalm 14. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. And the conclusion of the all-knowing God is, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all together gone out of the way. They are together, collectively, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, no, not one. Not one. Not one. So, where does that leave us? If God doesn't do something for us, as Brother Barnard used to say, we'll split hell wide open. Their foolish heart was darkened. And now, look at this. Further, we see the depravity of the sinner professing themselves to be wise. They think they know better than God, don't they? Oh, well, that's old-fashioned stuff. You know, that's, you know, that Bible stuff. Gosh, you can't go that way anymore. I mean, that's archaic and ancient. We know better. We've come so far. We've progressed so far. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They just revealed their foolishness. So we can come to this conclusion. The world by wisdom does not and cannot know God and never will. The world by its wisdom. You see, the preaching of the cross to those who were perishing, you remember 1 Corinthians 1:18? The preaching of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness. Foolishness. And as I had on the radio this morning, I hope most of you listened to the program, John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. The world by its wisdom does not, cannot know God and never will. Because the fool has said in his heart, and this is twice in the book of Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or some have rendered it this way, the fool has said in his heart, no to God. No, you cannot be God. You see, we whittled ourselves out and own our own little idol, and man in her fallen state, you know who they worship? Self. Self. It's all about me, mine, and mine, and to hell with everything else. I mean, that's the attitude of the fallen man. Excuse the blunt language, but that's just the way it is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Twice in the Proverbs we read this, there is a way that seemeth right unto men. Do your own thing. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death. Death and judgment. There is no true wisdom, knowledge, or any spiritual understanding or revelation apart from the God of wisdom and the God of revelation as he is revealed in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2 verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, God must take this foolish, darkened heart and make us by His power and grace new creatures in Christ. Or we'll stay that way, we're born that way, we'll live that way, and we'll die in our sin unless God Almighty doesn't intervene and give us a new heart, a new nature, a divine nature to believe Him and to love Him. God must make us wise in Christ, and God must make the Lord Jesus Christ wisdom unto us. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? But of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. He's our wisdom. We understand in the gospel how God can be God and justify the ungodly and not compromise one attribute of His character. And that's the mystery and glory of the gospel. We're going to see in Romans chapter 3 how God can be just and justify the ungodly only in Christ. God must command His light to shine in our darkened, dead heart, or we'll never see the glory of God. Now, man can go a long way in religion. I mean, you just look around this country and look around this world. Religion's everywhere. Men left to themselves. Somebody asked me one time, how come there's so many different religions? Because men left to themselves will whittle out some form, some kind of God according to his wicked imagination. Everyone who was taught of God and who believed the gospel, they all believe the same things, that salvation is of the Lord. But you leave a man alone and he'll come up with all kind of wild ideas. You say, well, who would believe those wild ideas? You reckon how many people are following Muhammad? I mean, there's like 4 or 5 billion of those people, maybe more, billions of them. How many people will follow the craziness of a 14-year-old boy who said he found gold plates in a hill and started a whole religion? There are over 15 million people, those people who are believing that lie. And they call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Who are those people? Mormons. I was one of them. And I would still be right there in that darkness, in that refuge of lies, believing that lie, trusting myself for righteousness, for acceptance with God by my morality. Now, I'm not against morality. But folks who say, well, we don't smoke, we don't drink coffee, we don't drink tea, and certainly we don't eat chocolate because it's got caffeine in it, and we don't do all these different things. We don't go here, we don't do this, we don't do that, we give this, we give that, and you count that for righteousness. What does God say? Away with it, it is filthy rags. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, aren't you glad for the perfect, blessed righteousness revealed in the gospel, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, without him, we have no gospel. We have no salvation. Now, verse 23. They changed the glory of God. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, God who is uncorruptible, incorruptible, into an image made to corruptible man. In other words, they want to pull God off his throne and make him just like them so they can have a God that they can manipulate, a God that they can change, a God that they can control. A God that you can manipulate and change is no God at all. He's nothing but a puny idol whittled out by your own vain thoughts. You see what he's saying here? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. How sad. Now this just shows you how depraved sinners are. And it's us by nature. I'm not saying that we're not like that, because by nature we are. And to birds, to four-footed beasts, birds, beasts, and creeping things. What are creeping things? Bugs. I mean, we'll worship anything but God. I mean, we'll worship a beetle, a bug, a snake, four-footed beast. You remember from our study in 2 Kings about what Jeroboam did? How many times in the book of 2 Kings, you look it up, how many times where it says, the sin of Jeroboam, the sin of Jeroboam, the sin of Jeroboam. You remember? Remember what he did? Well, we're just going to worship God by this golden calf. And he thought so much of the first one he made two. Put one in Dan, one in Bethel. So the folks wouldn't go down to Jerusalem and worship the true and living God. So we're just going to have this four-footed beast and say, well, this is what God looks like. You see how corrupt we are? And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to beast, and bugs. We've got to... You go back and look at Greek mythology, or in the time when Israel was in Egypt, those 400 years. I mean, they had 400 different kind of god idols. Wherefore, it says, I have in my notes here, may God keep us from all forms of idolatry. That's where he found us. That's where he found us, in idolatry. And he turned us to God from our idols, to serve a living and true God. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 9. And caused us to worship the true and living God in spirit and in truth as he's revealed in the Word. Putting no confidence in the flesh, but rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Got a few minutes left, so let's take a look at verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. God gave them up. We're going to see that phrase repeated here. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up. Down in verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fit, which are not proper. Those who remain in willful rebellion against God, God will leave them to their own polluted nature, through the lust of their own wicked heart, and that is the source of all wickedness. Underscore that word in verse 24, the lust of their own hearts. The lust of their own hearts. Oh, my soul. The lust of their... Can you imagine being left to the lust of your own hearts, unrestrained by the grace of God? What would that lead to? I mean, you can go as far as you want to run with that. There is no wickedness that any sinner is not capable of committing apart from the restraining grace of God. Thank God he restrained sinners. And I've often said this, if God took the restraints off of mankind universally, by sundown, we'd all murder one another. We'd be all dead. We'd just commit what they call genocide. Genocide. The whole generation. We just all kill one another. If you study the history of man, you know what you study? world history, U.S. history, all the way down through history, you know what you study? Wars. 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 And we get quite proficient at killing one another. Why? God lets go the restraint to the lust of their own hearts. These people in news media, they just can't understand how somebody can take a submachine gun, walk into a schoolyard, and mow down 50 kids. They think, well, how can a man be so sinful and so low? Their news reporter is the same makeup. Unrestrained, mankind unrestrained, we'd all wipe one another out in an instant. God let Adolf Hitler unrestrained for just a little while. How many millions did he kill? Stalin in Russia, down through history. I mean, there's just been, you talk about mass murder. How does that happen? Unrestrained to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. No greater judgment upon any sinner than for God to leave him to his own wicked heart, evil thoughts, fleshly wisdom, and carnal ambitions. That's the greatest judgment God can put on any man, to simply be left alone. God, don't leave me alone. Don't leave us alone. When God leaves a man alone, there's no level too low for him to sink unto. He's already totally depraved. But he, unrestrained, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, witnesses, false witnesses, blasphemies. That's Matthew 15. Those Pharisees were all upset about their disciples. They didn't wash their hands. How are they going to be defiled by what they eat? Now, you may get the flu, but the Lord said it's not what goes in the mouth. That's not your problem. It's not what goes in here. It's what comes out of this wicked, wicked heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's Matthew 15, 19. You see, to do what? To dishonor their own body, their own heart, their mind and soul. You see, saving faith honors God, doesn't it? Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Unbelief is only dishonoring to God. And God says this, if any man love not, honor not, believe not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be, be okay. Everything be, I'm okay, you're okay. You know, just do the best you can, everything be okay. That's what they say. But what does God say? That's all that matters. If any man loved not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. What does that mean? Well, anathema means accursed. Maranatha means when the Lord comes. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than what is the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed. Accursed when God comes. Well, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? That's God's language. That's God's language. And you take that to this religious world today,